Child of God, you're welcome once again to the Sydney Ala Mensa podcast. Today, the man of God continues his sermon titled, The Bait of Satan. This is part 4. Stay tuned and be blessed.
God bless you for coming. How was your day? Your day? It's been good? Some of you, your faces don't look like... It looked like either your boss stressed you or some guys or some ladies stressed you. I don't know, but it's always good to be in the house of God, because in the house of God there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's look at Luke chapter 17 verse 1. We want to end our series on the bait of Satan. So, if you have a scripture, last week I had to read my own scripture, so I'm getting prepared. Amen. Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Today I have one of my pastors here, two of them actually. Yeah. So I'm privileged, I'm blessed. So they can do me the honor. Luke 17, verse 1.
Luke 17, verse 1. Can I read?
Yes, please.
Then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come."
Say again.
Luke 17 verse 1. Then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come." Amen.
Amen. Next verse, please.
Verse 2. "It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones."
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now let's jump to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 24, verse 16. Acts 24, verse 16.
Acts 24 verse 16, and I read,
"Yes,
this being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and man."
Let's take it again.
Acts 24 verse 16, and I read, "This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and man."
Amen. Amen. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen.
Amen. Tonight, as we look at the bait of Satan as our last series, we want to talk about escaping the trap of revenge. Escaping the trap of revenge. Hallelujah. I know some of us, when we hear revenge, it's a sweet pie. It's something that is inborn, it's in there, that if somebody offends me, I need to revenge, because if I do not, it takes my ego away from me. If you look at the Greek word in Acts chapter 24 verse 16 for exercise is axio, and the Vine Expository Dictionary defines exercise as to take pains, endeavor, or exercise by training or discipline. So sometimes other people offend us, but we find it very hard to forgive. And there are times where we have exercised our heart and our being that we can forgive. There are some people, they cannot hold a grudge for 24 hours. They will forgive. But before they forgive, they have to make sure that everything is in order. They will call you, they will speak to you, they will tell you. But even before they forgive you, they will blast you, you know, speak to your face. Yeah. And let you know that what you did was wrong. In fact, it's because of the grace of God they are forgiving you. Praise the Lord. So most of us, we have exercised our heart, or we have put our heart in the condition where we can handle offense. So I will put it this way. We have trained ourselves. It says that I myself always strive to have conscience without offense. Like you have trained yourself to handle what? anything called what offense. That at the end of the day, you don't injure your heart. It doesn't have any permanent damage to you as a result of what offense. You have been able to train yourself. But how about if you have not been able to train yourself? Or how about an offense that comes to you which is extremely bigger than you can handle? Am I communicating here? So sometimes offenses will be more challenging to some of us that we have not been trained, that we have not learned. We do not have the ability to be able to what handle what offense. And the extra strain may cause an injury to you that sometimes it will take a spiritual lifeline for you to come out of it. Because when a wound is created, it takes time for it to be healed. And that is why sometimes when you and I, when we are offended one way or the other, and we have not exercised, or we have not trained ourselves, or we do not have the conscience without offense towards God and men, we find it difficult. It becomes a wound and it takes a long time to be healed. Imagine that you betray her. Hallelujah. That's my next series, betrayal. Hallelujah. We want to be practical. We want to come out of certain things. Me, I've been betrayed. How many of you have been betrayed before? Betrayed. Let me take my time and say it. Betrayed. Praise the Lord. So the result is that it will take time for you to what? For you to heal. But if you have trained yourself, it doesn't take time for you to heal. And that is why I want to say that we have to mature through hardships. You and I, we have to mature through hardship. Because it is true that we go through difficult times. We go through tough times. It is not easy. These are hard times. This walk with God is not an easy journey. It's a tough journey. And I won't lie to you. And we cannot escape from issues about offenses, because you are not perfect. Although the Bible says, be ye perfect, but you are not perfect. So in the process of becoming perfect, these things can run into your life and it can seriously hinder your growth. Somebody say, hinder my growth. It can seriously hinder your growth. And as you encounter some of these different obstacles, the truth of the matter is that you grow stronger and stronger and stronger. The more I go through, the more I become what stronger. Because sometimes some offenses, they come, you can tell the end result because you have faced it one way or the other. Am I speaking here? Praise the Lord. So you will fall in a lot of offenses. But the more I fall in love with Jesus, the more I'm able to contain offenses that come into my life. There is a song, it's a falling in love. You know, today my voice is gone. When this man led worship, he's taking my voice. Hallelujah. But that is true. You will fall more in love with Jesus. And the more you fall in love, the more you have compassionate when it comes to what issues about offense. And I would say the more you fall in love in Jesus, the more you recover from what offenses. And I would say that recovery is a choice. Say recovery is a choice. Recovery is a choice. You see, people get hurt and they never recover. I don't know why. But people get hurt and they never recover. It might sound very cruel, but recovery is a choice. It's a choice for you to come out of it or to stay in it. Praise the Lord. So I would say that maturity does not come easily. If you want to attain maturity, you need to understand that it doesn't come on a silver platter. And few of us here and few believers watching me online here and even watch me later and all that, few of us here can reach a level in life where we can be able to resist certain offenses. But the paramount thing is that you have to be matured. Am I coming? So when you see some people behave some ways and some manner, you can tell that they are fulfilling scripture, that they are still drinking milk, that they are not chewing bones. They are still, after being in the house of God for 15 years, you are still not matured. And as a result of that, some hardships that we encounter in life we cannot stand because we are not what matured. I love it when Paul had returned to three cities that he betted, and when I mean he betted, he planted, and his purpose was to strengthen the souls of the disciples. However, it is so interesting to see in this scripture, Acts chapter 14, verse 21 to 22. Pastor, help us. It's so interesting to see how he strengthened them. It's very interesting how he strengthened them. Acts chapter 14, verse 21 to 22.
Acts chapter 14, verse 21 to 22. And I read, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch."
That's right.
"Strengthening the souls of the
disciples,
exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of
God." Do you see exclamation mark there? Hallelujah. Now, Pastor, read that. We start from "we." When you read, let's read it with him.
"We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God."
Enter the kingdom of God. This is how Paul encourages them. Yeah. This is how Paul encourages them. He says that we must through what? Tribulation. Enter the kingdom of what? Of God. And this is how he exhorts them to continue in the faith. And he's saying that whilst you continue in the faith, it is not easy. Listen, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, it's not bread and butter. We need to understand that we will go through what? Tribulation. Praise the Lord. Somebody say trials.
Trial.
Tribulation.
Tribulation.
You see, Jesus did not promise an easy life, a life of ease, that when you come to me, you know you will go through tribulation. You like it or not, that is the word. You will go through a tribulation. Enemy, it doesn't answer prayer. Praise the Lord. One day we will just illustrate and going into a place of prayer with tears, enemy, God, why me? It doesn't answer prayer. There is a legalistic thing that you need to put in mind, that you go to God with evidence, with the word of God. Nowadays, it's been simplified that when you are going through certain things, there are scriptures that is supposed to help you. I'm going to tell you, you know, somewhere to find some of these things. And you pray not amiss, but you pray effectual. The word effectual there. It's not about screaming, shouting. Hallelujah. You know what you are praying what about. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is not promising us that in the course of our Christian life, it's not going to be easy. People are going to offend you. I'm a man. I can offend you. I pray I do not, but I can offend you. Maybe I have offended you. Forgive me. Hallelujah. But I can offend you. Praise the Lord. And he's saying that we will go through what? Tribulation. And whilst we go through, we need to understand that in this world, it will take your love for Jesus for you to come out of what? Of these what? Offenses. Am I communicating here? So trials will put you in a place where sometimes you want to have answers from God, and you are looking at yourself and not being selfish, but you want to admit to God that, God, this is my, maybe there is some serious anger that I have, this is my problem, and Lord, I need what? Your help. Hallelujah. Peter put it so well. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. Somebody say tribulation.
Tribulation.
Trials.
Trial.
Tribulation.
Tribulation.
Trials.
Trials.
Let's look at how Peter put it.
1 Peter chapter 4,
verse 12 to 13. Yes, please.
"Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you."
Look at it. He said, do not what? Think is what?
Strange.
It's not strange. Look at somebody say, it ain't strange.
It ain't strange.
Hallelujah. It's not strange.
Do not think it strange concerning fiery trial, which is to try you.
Which is to try what?
You.
Is it your grandmother? You.
No, myself.
Me. To try what? You.
As though some strange thing happened to you.
As though some what strange thing happened to you. And that's why some of us, we say, strange. Like I say, be sibida. He says, do not think it is what? Strange. It's never strange. Why? Continue.
Verse 30.
But
rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering.
You partake of what? Christ's suffering. So what you are going through, you are partaking in what?
Christ's
what? Suffering. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That
when his glory is revealed.
That when his glory is what?
Revealed. You may also be glad with
you
exceeding
You may also
glory.
Be glad with exceeding. I believe is a good place to clap your hands. Hallelujah. So I am going through, I am partaking in what? In the suffering of Christ. That at the end of the day, when the glory is what? Revealed. It makes me remember this song. When the glory, there will be no words to say. Some of you in believer service like that, God can touch your voice. You start singing more than snatch. So when you sing, hallelujah, back it. You never know, some grace will fall upon you. You sing. So one day we will what? We will have exceeding what? Joy, because we are partakers. Tell somebody, I am a partaker of Christ's suffering. Hallelujah. Amen. Now notice that he compares the extent of suffering to the extent of what? Rejoicing. Now how can you rejoice to that extent? When his glory is revealed, he will glorify himself in your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But in all these things, what we are saying is for you to come to a place of reconciliation. Reconcile. Somebody say reconcile.
Reconcile.
Say reconcile.
Reconcile.
Praise the Lord. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Let's travel to Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 24. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 24. I want you to, when you read, then we read it with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's read.
Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 24.
Yes, please.
You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. Verse 22. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. 23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. 24. Leave your gift there before the altar, and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift.
That's serious, man. That's serious, man. Somebody say, that's serious, man.
That's serious.
See, he ain't joking here.
He ain't joking.
That's serious, man.
That's serious, man.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is reconciliation. Jesus is showing us what? Reconciliation. Praise the Lord. So in the eyes of God, a murderer is not limited to one who commit murder. You see, there are times where people can offend you, and there are some kind of words you even want to use. It's more like taking a knife and stabbing the person. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You in your private place, you say it. So say, I'm giving you permission. Raka. Hallelujah. You fool. He says, shall be in danger of what? Of hellfire. So the Lord is saying that you are the same as the one who would take a knife and kill somebody and murder that person. And Jesus clearly delineates the consequences of offense in this portion of his sermon. And he illustrates the severity of holding anger or being bitter. A serious man. And if one is angry with his brother without a cause, he is in danger of judgment. Without what? A cause. He is in danger of what? Of judgment. And he is in danger because he now bears or carries a fruit against what? His brother. A fruit of anger. It says raka. Hallelujah. The word raka, it means empty-headed. I don't know how the tree people say. They have something. Say, let me see. With you. Empty-headed. Hallelujah. So the word raka, which is here, means that empty-handed or fool. So it was a term to reproach among the Jews in the time of Christ. And if that anger reaches the point where he calls his brother a fool, he is in danger of what? Of hellfire. He's in danger of hell. So when your anger gets to that level and the word fool comes out of your mouth, or raka, it's just to say godless. The fool is the one that says there is no one, there is no God. Hallelujah. It's in Psalm chapter 14 verse 1. So in those days, to call a brother a fool is quite a serious accusation. And no one would say such a thing unless the anger they bear had turned to hatred. And today it will be comparably to like telling your brother, you got to go to hell. I don't care. Go to hell. It's just like the same thing. Go to hell. Praise the Lord. So Jesus was showing that not dealing with anger can lead to hatred. Do you know that? Not dealing with anger can lead to what? Hatred. And hatred not dealt with would put many in danger of hell. Then he said that if they remembered their brother who they have offended, they were to make it a top priority to be able to what? Reconcile. Somebody say reconcile. But why should we seek such urgency to be reconciled? For our sake or for our brother's sake? Why should there be urgency? We should go for his sake, that he might not be a catalyst to help himself out of what? Offense. We have to help him. And that is why I'm going to reconcile, because I want to help him. That is the reason why I'm going to what? Reconcile. And even if we are not offended with him, the love of God does not remain in him. Praise the Lord. When he carries what? That anger. So without attempting to reach out and restore, we stay behind and we also carry that offense and that anger. We are at the place of what? Of entering what? Hell. So it doesn't matter, right or wrong, it doesn't matter. The most important thing is that I need to help my brother from stumbling. I need to help my sister from stumbling. And what I have to do is to correct that person, is to reconcile that person, is to go and say, let's reconcile. So asking forgiveness of one who has offended you is very paramount. Somebody say, ask forgiveness. Ask forgiveness. Praise the Lord. Asking forgiveness of one who is offended. Let me put it, one who is offended is paramount. That people say, you know, don't worry, let me be stupid and let me just go and apologize. You know, it's not my fault, but let me just be stupid and go and apologize just to reconcile, just to, you know, get things working. Praise the Lord. And the Apostle Paul said it this way, Romans 14:19. Yes, please.
Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another.
Now, let's all read together. Therefore.
Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another.
One may what? Edify another. This shows how to approach a person we have offended. If we go with an attitude of frustration, we will not promote peace. It says, therefore, let us pursue what? The things which make what? For peace. And the things which are, which one may edify what? Another. So you cannot go with an attitude of frustration. It will never promote peace. And I'll sit there. And I'll sit there. It's going to cause so many problems. There can never be reconciliation. So we will only make it difficult for the one who is hurt if we always approach it with what? Frustration. Praise the Lord. So approaching someone who has offended you, now what we need to do is to have a discussion with the sister or the brother which we have what? Offended. Praise the Lord. Let's consider what to do if our brother offends us or if your sister offends you. Let's consider it. Matthew 18:15. What do you do? What do you do when a brother offends you? Or when you offend a brother? What do you do? Let's read.
Matthew 18:15.
Yes, sir.
I read.
Moreover,
if your brother sins
against you,
Go and tell him his fault. Between you and him alone. If he hears you,
is the Lord. Not to condemn him, but to remove anything that lies between what two of you, and thus be reconciled and then restored. But what happens if we have the right attitude actually and attempt to reconcile with someone who has sinned against us, and he or she won't listen? You have tried, you have done everything. The person won't just listen. Matthew 18:16-17. Let's read it, please.
Matthew 18:16-17.
Yes, please.
Verses 16-17.
Yes, you have tried. You won't listen. You have tried. You've done what you have to do. He will not just listen. She will not just listen. So what do we do?
But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more. That by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Every word may be established.
Good.
Verse 17.
Yes, so what happens? You take the witnesses and what happens?
And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector.
Am I the one who is saying this?
No, sir.
Hallelujah. So Jesus is giving you the process that after you have gone and told him his sin or his offense, and then trying to reconcile, and the reconciliation does not work. He says that then you go with what? One or two. He says that then let him be like what? You know, a tax collector. I remember the UT time. There's some the guys, they call them something. 4 a.m. they are, people will leave home around 3 a.m. But they realize 3 a.m. they also come early, 2 a.m. they are there. They are owing, they will take the money by force. Praise the Lord. So the bottom line is, If we keep the love of God as a motivation, we will not fail. That's the basis, the love of what of God. Love never fails. Someone say, love never fails.
Love never fails.
Love never fails. I want to repeat it again. If we keep the love of God as our motivation, we will not what fail. And that is why most of us say, you know, but so he doesn't see where he has to forgive. Praise the Lord. When we love others the way Jesus loves us, we will freely be able to choose the pattern to reconcile. We want to reconcile what with others if we see what Jesus sees. Now look carefully at the following scripture. Look carefully. Romans chapter 12 verse 18. God's wisdom is available in all. I would say this. God's wisdom is available in all situations. Romans 12 verse 18.
Mm-hmm. Romans 12 verse 18.
Yes, please.
I read. If it is possible.
If it is what?
Possible.
Oh, come on. Read it after him. If it is what?
Possible.
Uh-huh.
As much as
depends on what?
You.
On you. Live what? Pastor, read.
Live peaceably with all men.
Live peaceably with what?
With all men.
As much as, not me, as much as depends on what?
Me.
On you. Jeff, as much as it depends on you. Live peaceably with what?
All men.
All men. He's saying that if it is what? Possible. I mean, that's the narration. If it is what? Possible. Because there are times when others refuse to be at peace with you, no matter what you do. I want to speak some guy, but I don't remember. Hallelujah. No matter what it is, you can do whatever it is, but they not for peace, for war. He says, if it is possible, it means that there are times where what it is not possible. You can do whatever, you go and buy a crate of egg, you shower the person with gift, everything, they will eat it, but still I am for war. See that? I lie.
I don't lie.
It's true. Hallelujah. And these are the conditions for reconciliation that most people will say, no, I will not reconcile. But Jesus say, if they do not, they are like tax collectors. They are like the hidden, you know, hidden unbelievers. They are like the unbelievers. Praise the Lord. So God, in this way, with mankind, he is not willing that any should perish, but he will not compromise truth for what? Relationship. So Jesus, he seeks reconciliation with true commitment, not superficial terms. And this develops a bond of love that no evil can sever. Because he has laid his life for you and I. Jesus has laid his life for you and what? And I. And I believe that we can do like. Look at somebody say, we can do likewise.
We can do likewise.
Hallelujah. Remember that the bottom line is the love of what? Of God. It never fails. It never fades. It never comes to an end. It never fails. It never fades. It never comes to an end. It never fails. It never fades. It never comes what? To an end. It seeks not his own. It seeks for what? Your own. It seeks for you. It's looking for you. And I want to say this whilst I close. It's not easily to sometimes when you're offended, you muster courage and go to the person. But it takes maturity. Praise the Lord. What you did, it was not good. Praise the Lord. And there are some people, when you tell them, they get offended more. But you have been scripture, you fulfilled scripture. Hallelujah. And today I've given you the steps and the patterns of how to what? Look at it. Give me 1 Corinthians 13:5. First Corinthians 13, 5. Last scripture.
1 Corinthians 13, 5.
Yes, sir.
Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil.
Thinks no evil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The love of God.
The love of God.
The love of God is the key. Somebody say the love of God is the key.
The love of God is the key.
To freedom.
To freedom.
From the bait.
The bait.
Of Satan.
Of Satan.
From the trap.
From the trap.
Of offense. See the love of God.
The love of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And this must be an abounding love. A love that continually grows and is strengthened in our heart. And I want to encourage you. So many of us in our society today are deceived by superficial love. A love that talks but does not act. I love you, but no action. Hallelujah. Sweet talkers, but no action. The love that will keep us from stumbling, it lays down his life. It's a selfless word, love, even for the good of an enemy. And when we walk in this kind of love, we cannot be seduced into taking the bait of Satan. Please bow down your head and let's pray. You want to take one prayer? Lord, I have listened to your word, your series on the bait of Satan. Lord, I pray, this thing called offense, Lord, help me. If I am embittered in any way, Lord, help me. Let it be your prayer. Let it be your prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We have heard your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask the Lord, you help us with offenses. You help us, Lord, with offenses in the name of Jesus. Your word says that we will go through tribulation. We will go through many tribulations. Enter the kingdom of God. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, because once again your word says that we partake of Christ's suffering. We partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, we may be glad with exceeding joy. So shall it be, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. That Lord, help us, help us in the name of, you are praying, you have been offended in the past. You know, it could be family, it could be friends, it could be brother, it could be somebody you trusted. But the Lord says that we should not carry an offense. We should not be speaking rakah. We should open our heart to him and mature. We are praying that, Lord, take out any form of offense in my life. Give me the ability to reconcile, because that is the pure and the truth of the word of God, that his love came for reconciliation. So Lord, give us the grace to be able to reconcile in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we honor and we bless you. We give you all the glory and all the praise. I want you to pray and say, thank God. Say, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
For your word.
For your word.
Thank you for these teachings.
Thank you for these teachings.
Lord, let me walk with it.
Lord,
let me not just be hearer.
Let me
be doer. In the name of Jesus. Come on, pray. La pratomene pesete manasa. Kasebrete kompeniete refetes. Zabrati mini kopet zara dabasaya ni preteke debere debeyada karato bere debe shada baha repeni kepere debasaya. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Father, we bless you. We thank you.
Amen.
We honor your name. Pray that we will be doers of thy word, but not just hearers. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen.
This has been an amazing life-transforming message from Reverend Sydney Alumensa. Do not forget to share with friends, families, and loved ones. God bless you and Shalom.